Today on the Wisdom Journey, you'll meet a man named Gaius. He was a member of the early church, and he supported missionary work with prayer, resources, and unwavering commitment. But Gaius didn't serve without opposition. Diotrephes, a self-centered leader, stood against Gaius's generosity and sought to control the church's mission. We'll see a stark contrast between these two men and learn what it truly means to support those who proclaim the gospel.
William Carey served the Lord for more than 40 years in the country of India. As a young man, when he initially revealed his desire to leave England and go as a missionary to India, his own church leaders criticized him. In fact, they refused to support him. Eventually, four godly men came alongside him, promising to pray for him and financially support him. William Carey often talked about descending into the gold mine of India. And he told these four men, I will go down into the mine if you will hold the rope. Well, that phrase just kind of caught on, and his friends entered into what they would call their rope-holding pledge. And let me tell you, they kept that pledge to the day they died. They never once let go of that rope. Well, as we set sail today through what's called the third letter of John, we're introduced to he's a rope holder, and his name is Gaius. And John will challenge us with this man's involvement in supporting missionaries and the mission enterprise. Now, John calls Gaius here, as the letter opens, beloved. In fact, he's going to call him that four times in this brief letter. It's a word that could be translated, my dearest friend. So from this letter, we can immediately discern that Gaius was a respected leader in the local church, highly respected and well-loved by the Apostle John. Now here in verse 2, John extends rather typical greetings of the day for somebody's well-being and good health. He, by the way, like false teachers say, is not guaranteeing good health, but he's wishing it for him, which would be common in an opening letter in these days. Next, here in verse 3, he refers to something that he's recently heard about Gaius. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. Well, these brothers here are traveling missionaries who'd brought back a good report that Gaius was walking with God. Now, John is overjoyed with this report. He even comments here in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, this expression here, my children, in relation to Gaius, implies that Gaius had been led to faith in Christ through the personal ministry of the Apostle John. Now with that, John's going to get down to business here in verses 5 and 6. Beloved, that is my dear friend, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Now again, beloved, these brothers here are itinerant evangelists, what we would call missionaries today. To Gaius, though, they were complete strangers, which means Gaius had never seen them before. Yet, what does he do? He takes them into his home, and with gracious hospitality, he meets their needs. Now, John writes that it was Gaius's practice here to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. That's verse 6 again. That means that he fully supplied their needs for ministry, tangible needs, food, extra clothing, letters of recommendation, money, whatever they needed to continue on. You see, these men weren't tourists traveling around, seeing the sights, you know, of the Mediterranean world, taking a lot of pictures. Here in verse 7, John clarifies that they were on the road for the sake of the name. Now, that's a reference to the name above all names, Jesus Christ. So these men are traveling full-time. They're serving. They're sharing the gospel. They're exalting the name of Jesus Christ. Now, here's where John begins to talk about rope holders. In verse 8, he writes, "Therefore, we," and that's for every believer, by the way, "we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." In other words, look, let's all get involved financially, tangibly, and support these missionaries and effectively partner with them in their work. Beloved, think about it this way. Financial support is no less spiritual than prayer support. They're really kind of like two wings of an airplane, and every missionary needs both wings to fly. Besides, John writes earlier in verse 7 that these missionaries were, he writes, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. That's a reference to unbelievers. In other words, they're not getting any financial support. They're not asking for financial support from unbelieving friends, unbelieving neighbors. And I frankly agree with that kind of commitment. Support for the work of God ought to come from the people of God. We're the ones to seize that rope and frankly, experience the joy of partnering in God's global mission of redeeming the lost around the world. Supporters who hold the rope are as critical as those who go down into the gold mines around the world. And I can tell you, having grown up in a missionary home, my parents were so grateful for those friends over there in Minnesota and that church in Wisconsin and Iowa who held the Davy rope and supported our family needs. Every summer, we would travel north to make personal visits to these supporters. It always took us up through Iowa, where we would visit Mr. and Mrs. Peepers. Every time we pulled into that driveway, my mother would remind us never to make fun of Mr. and Mrs. Peepers' name. And, well, we didn't want to anyways, because we loved what we knew was waiting for us. Without fail, Mrs. Peepers would have ready her homemade sourdough cinnamon rolls with extra icing. Now, you talk about supporting missionaries like they ought to be supported. Now, they weren't on any church staff. They weren't former missionaries or community leaders. Let me tell you, they were just godly farmers who love the gospel, love the Lord, and they happen to love us too. They were rope holders of our family. Now, unfortunately, not everybody's in agreement about supporting the Lord's work or the Lord's workers. William Carey faced great opposition, and, well, Gaius faced that kind of opposition too. And that opposition came primarily from a man named Diotrephes. And John now turns his attention to dealing with this ungodly man. He writes here in verse 9, "I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority." Now, John doesn't specifically tell us what his leadership position was, but Diotrephes disrespects the authority of the Apostle John. And that's no doubt because he feels it's a challenge to his own sense of self-importance, his own leadership role in the church. And John notes here very openly that Diotrephes likes to put himself first. He's got to be first in line at the church picnic. He's got to cast the first vote. And frankly, his vote's the only vote he thinks that counts. Men like Diotrephes have been damaging local churches in every generation. You see, Diotrephes views this little church as his own little kingdom. He expects Gaius to be his puppet and other church members to serve him. Now, verse 10 lets us know that Diotrephes is actually gone a step further. He's slandering John. The apostle writes here, "If I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us." Imagine this taking place in this local church. Evidently, Diotrephes has mounted a campaign to convince his fellow church members to believe the absolute worst about John the Apostle. I got to tell you, many, many good pastors have been run out of their churches by men like Diotrephes, who would rather have power for themselves than the power of God. Well, John says here he's going to deal with Diotrephes when he arrives. Now, as bad as all that is, and no doubt hurtful to the Apostle John to be slandered, what really upsets John is Diotrephes' treatment of these traveling missionaries. Now, as bad as all that is, and no doubt hurtful to John the Apostle to be slandered to this local church, what really seems to upset John the most is the way Diotrephes is treating these traveling missionaries, these itinerant evangelists. He writes here in the middle of verse 10 that he, Diotrephes, refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Imagine this. He is actually kicking people out of the church if they support these missionaries. Well, John concludes his comments now here in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. You know what he's doing? He's warning this local church then, back then, and today, don't follow the leadership. Don't be influenced by some stingy, self-centered, power-hungry man like Diotrephes. Now with that, John contrasts the evil influence of Diotrephes with the godly influence of another church member by the name of Demetrius. Now, they might have similar sounding names, but the hearts of Diotrephes and Demetrius were worlds apart. John writes here in verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. Well, Demetrius, like Gaius, happened to be a member of that rope holding society. These two men were thinking of others. They were investing personally in the financial needs of missionaries. They didn't have to be first. They wanted others to be first. So let's live like these men. Let's support those who've given their lives to spread the gospel. Let's hold their rope today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. This lesson is called Holding the Rope for Others. Supporting those who spread the gospel is a sacred task, one that requires selflessness and commitment. We're called to be rope holders, standing alongside those who serve in mission fields. Let's seize that rope and make a difference for the sake of the gospel. Join Stephen next time to continue this wisdom journey through the Bible.